and I'm wandering hard to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave thy God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord together as we worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you are a visitor with us, I'd like to meet you. Please catch me after the service, unless maybe I've already met you since you've come in this morning. But we also have a gift for you with a little information about our church. It's a water bottle on the front table. It's good to be in the house of God today on this kickoff Sunday as we kick off our new year of Sunday school and small groups and Bible studies. Let me offer a word of prayer, and then we'll receive the Lord's greeting. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. You call us to be glad and rejoice in it. And we know that true joy comes from you, Lord God. We can pretend everything's okay. We can come in here with a smile. But if we don't know who you are in this world and in our life, we don't have that joy that you give to us. So I pray for your joy that we can, Lord, tackle each new day with your joy in us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. From 2 Corinthians 13, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's greet each other.
Doggone it. Guess I'll be dry. It's three. I'm triple checking.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Has given counsel to the Lord, who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare, come let us adore him. Felt our nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humbled to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare, come let us adore him. Behold our King, sit on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Satan whispers to us in the dark that we're not good enough. He sows seeds saying that we're too bad for God to love us. He tells us we're not successful enough, popular enough, or smart enough. But what he says doesn't matter, and what our God says goes. And he says, you are mine. He says, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. God defines us, who you say I am.
That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Oh, the sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. The sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Oh, the sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
As we acknowledge our sin and God's grace over our sin, we do a call to confession. And our call to confession is from Scripture. And Scripture calls us in John 3 with these words. Do not marvel that Jesus says to us, you must be born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, who convicts us of sin and leads us into all righteousness. Therefore, we'll confess our sin. If you bow your head, I'm going to pray a prayer of confession. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging our unworthiness. our guilt, our shame. Not only were we with Adam in the garden as he represented us, we have our own sin in this life, Lord, of ways we've walked against your will, against your word, against your plan for our lives. We know sin has wreaked havoc on this world, and it has in our lives as well. God, we're not here because we've done it all correct. We're not here because you've done your part and we've done ours. We acknowledge we are here only by your sheer grace alone, who has forgiven us all of our sins, who has taken them to the cross. Jesus, and you've received the Lord's wrath upon you for our sin, and we thank you for that. Help us not look upon sin lightly. Just because it's all forgiven, past, present, and future, is not a license to sin, Lord. Help us not mock your cross by living in ways that you have not directed, that you have not pointed. But we do acknowledge our sin before you, Lord Jesus, and now we take a moment to silently confess that to you. Now receive the assurance of pardon. This is from Romans chapter 5. To the church at Rome, Paul wrote, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us." And some of you are like, well, what does that mean? Well, hopefully in the service this morning, you'll hear what that means. What is this assurance of pardon? What is this great forgiveness that Christ has brought to us? And what is the action, the movement he calls us to? So with that, I've picked as this morning's passage the end of Hebrews. We have begun our series in the book of Titus. One of the things we've already seen in the beginning of this book is the need for fellowship, the need for having a community and a family to have that support, to have those that surround you, that keep you going and keep you encouraged. And today is Sunday school kickoff Sunday. And we'll see it very practically. We have teachers, we have volunteers, small groups. We have those in the church for us. And I hope you know that. I had a conversation already this morning. This is a place where you find people for you, that are fighting for you. When the rest of the world is pointing fingers, accusing, trying to separate and divide, this is the place, the people of God together, where you find people for you. Not only when things are good, but when things are tough. And so that is what the author of Hebrews does in the end. He reminds the church of who they are in Christ, who Christ is ultimately. He keeps their eyes on Christ. It gives them kind of a Sunday school kickoff. Now get started, is what he says. And so that's what we're going to consider this morning. If you'll have your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 13, we'll get to the passage shortly. I have a friend in ministry. I have a number of friends who are in the pulpit right now, presenting the Word of God to their congregations all around the United States and other parts of the world. And it's funny to share stories. And we share a lot of stories. And one of the stories that was shared, one of the pastors was trying to get the congregation to say amen. And clearly they're not Dutch, because you don't try to get a Dutch congregation to say amen. You know, the joke is, you know, the amens are the pens moving on the papers, right? So he's trying to get the church to say amen. He's trying to say these dramatic statements with long pauses and just like dead silence. So finally he goes, "I won't be long-winded today." And one man says, "Amen." Amen. So it's interesting in the book of Hebrews, if you look at the very end of what the author wrote, he says in verse 22, "I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly." And you look at the book of Hebrews, you're like, briefly, right? It's not necessarily brief. And if you feel the weight, the content, the theology, the exhortation, the rebuke, like it's weighty. So even if it is relatively brief, it holds weight. But by and large, it was written as a sermon. So this letter was taken to the church. It'd be opened up, and it'd be read to the church. And so roughly, it would be 25 minutes. And so by all accounts, by that day's standard, it was a brief sermon. He had written to them briefly. The book of Hebrews. You know, one thing you get in this book, and hopefully in the future we'll take time to preach through the whole thing, one of the things I love is you see the pastor's heart for the congregation. You see his love, both in his willingness to exhort in deep theology, to warn against sin, to direct in the way that they should go. It's a great, meaty book, which also just unpacks the Old Testament in ways other books don't. All books serving their purpose, this particularly helping us understand the transition of the Old to the New Testament. So I picked this book on the end of this book on our Sunday school kickoff Sunday because of what the author says at the end, in his benediction primarily. So it's a benediction you've heard over and over spoken in this church. I want to unpack the benediction as we kick off our Sunday school year. So let's go to that text. This is what he wrote. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. I mean, just verse 20. I mean, man, we could spend hours there. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's the benediction, and then he closes out the book with these words at the very end. He says, brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I've written you a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greeting. Grace be with you all. That's how he ends it. When I say he, we don't know who it is, the author. I mean, some people assume it's Paul because of his relationship with Timothy. Maybe. I mean, he says this that we just read. He says, I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released from prison. The congregation would have known the exact details of Timothy's release. So we don't. They're not included here in this book. But the author's concern is to encourage the congregation. I mean, he writes like Paul in a lot of ways, but some of the structure isn't the same as Paul's other letters, so the assumption is it probably wasn't Paul. Could have been, probably wasn't. But we don't know, as it's anonymous. He encourages, though, that when the time comes, he and Timothy will be there. He says, greet all your leaders and all God's people, those from Italy, and send you their greetings. Grace and peace be with you. So in this even final exhortation, he's like, recognize those that are giving of their time to lead. And today we will recognize those. Sunday school teachers, considering Awana leaders, small group leaders, and so on. We'll take time at the end of the service to recognize those that are leading in the church. But the application of the author's benediction is what I want to jump back to and consider this morning. So let me jump back there just a bit. What's a benediction? Now, it's that thing we put at the end of the service, right? A lot of you just say, it just goes there. But what is it? What is a benediction? These words we close out the service with. Now, the Bible's filled with benedictions. And if we understand what we're doing in the service, so, you know, generally speaking, so the sermon kind of takes the center stage of what we're doing here, and a lot of times we think we're just coming to hear a sermon, or we're coming to hear inspirational words, but really what we're coming to do is we're coming as covenant people to interact with the covenant God who sends his blessing down to us, and we send our praise back up to him. We hear from him in his word. We give to him in our songs and our offerings, and then he sends us, right? He sends us. So we have a greeting from him in the beginning, 1 Corinthians, and then we have a sending at the end, God's word, the prayer, basically, of God on behalf of those that are are receiving his blessing to be sent. But in a very specific sense, it's a prayer of God on behalf of the readers or the hearers of the letter in our sending. So we close with a benediction, literally a good word, a prayer, a blessing from God to the people of God as we press forward in our life and our witness. So we have this benediction that you've heard over and over. So what are we to see in this benediction as we have our Sunday school kickoff this morning? I want to look at three things. The first two are a little longer, the last one fairly short. But ultimately, what we're to see is Christ himself. Christ is the strength of the Christian life. And so let me start here. On the Sunday school kickoff Sunday, Christ is the strength of the Christian life in our new Sunday school year and always. He is the strength of the Christian life. So the closing benediction, this is a longer one than maybe other ones that I would choose to do at certain times. I've used this one often. But it's very simple. It's in a very deep packed book with a very simple benediction, a very clear word of encouragement, of direction to the congregation that would receive the sermon of Hebrews. So what's the point? What's the author's motivation? It appears his motivation is that they would stand firm in their faith, that they would not be moved, that they would see God specifically through Christ, Christ as God, and receive his power by his Spirit to live as the people of God in the places that God has called them to live. And so instantly we can take the application and say, well, we have a responsibility as the people of God. We do, right? We have a way that we're called to live in light of the great grace that God has shown us in Christ in the forgiveness of our sins. We have a type of life that we are to pursue, that in fact we want to pursue if the Holy Spirit is in us. But we have the fall to contend with. We have this broken world. We have our own sin. We have the flesh that we fight against. I'm not sure if I shared this story before, but it'll be the picture I kind of want to use, the mental picture of the sermon. I worked for a construction company when we first got married, between seminary and taking my first call into ministry. Gave me a whole year off to show Kara how much of a wonderful husband I would be. Right? Now, I hope I've turned out okay. Right? First year's always hard. But I work construction, and I work for a company out of Wisconsin, remodeling apartments. And they gave me a license to drive a Skylift, one of those Skytracks, you know, those big booms. And the thing was just a blast. Brad's like, yeah, those are fun. You could probably pop wheelies with those things, I suppose, right? So I was booming the dumpster up to one of the top windows, and they filled it up, so I just put it in reverse, bring the dumpster down and dump it out. And I heard a crunch. I'm like, oh, no. Didn't even want to go see what that was. So I turn around, and one of the new light posts we just put in, I just backed over, you know, like, I don't even know how much it was worth, you know? And so, like, I'm feeling the shame and just like, man, I'm costing the company money. I just backed over this new light post. I'm probably not going to get to drive this thing again. And then this lady up on the fifth floor looks out the window. She goes, your boss ain't going to be happy with you now. I'm like, no, sin is never isolated. That's what sin does. It doesn't just affect me. You know, the effects of the fall, obviously the picture. I mean, the world has been backed over. We've backed over light posts. Lady in the window's telling us your boss ain't going to be happy. You know, so the image, like, God is not happy with sin, right? He is not happy with sin. Sin is missing the mark. It's not doing or being what God has called us to do or to be. We have a problem on our hands. We've backed over the light post, and there's no hiding it. And just as much as I was unable at that time to go out and put that thing back up without any scratches, we are unable to go back into our life and fix the mess. Sure, we could press on, try as hard as we want not to sin, but we have our whole past to deal with. What are we going to do? The boss ain't happy with sin. What does he do is the question. Because we can't do anything. So what he does is he pinpricks this tiny marble in the desert of space. And he inserts himself, right, in the incarnation. And he fixes what we can't fix on our own. He puts himself in this place to do business with our sin. He, Jesus, the one we're to keep our eyes focused on, becomes the answer to what we can't answer on our own. You know, and we live in a culture that wants an answer. They want somebody to blame. You know, you're responsible for this problem. You're responsible for that problem. I mean, it's this mild Marxism right now that's pushing in, which is dividing people, which is saying, you're the oppressed, you're the oppressor. It's oppressed groups joining against the oppressor, dividing the culture, saying, give me an apology, give me reparation. And on and on and on. We're looking for healing, but we're not looking in the right place. All of us have backed over the light pole. Not just that group or this group. We're all in this mess together. And so we have the good news. The good news is Jesus plus nothing. Jesus comes into the story and he fixes what's broken in all of us. That's why we say solas. Christos, Christ alone, by faith alone, to the glory of God alone, because it's all him and it's not us at all. I heard a great sermon last week, just to take a portion of it. A lot of the ways that we think about our salvation is we think 98% God. We're like, yeah, God did this great thing. He inserted himself in the incarnation. He put on flesh. He lived among us. He died for our sin. He rose again. 98%, that's what he did. 2% now, I have to live for him and make my salvation real. So we know by our Reformed theology that that's not correct. It's not 98% God, 2% you. If you think it's 2% you adding to your salvation, you are not a Christian because it's not the gospel. It is 100% God, 0% you. But we live 2% us. And so we mess up. We sin against others. And we're like, God, I got to get this thing right so you're okay with me, so I'm saved. Or we're like, no, it's 100% him all the time, not 2% you at all. Christ died for all of your sin. And now he's at work in you. What you're feeling is conviction of sin. Repent, follow him again, because he's called you to a new way of life that he's putting in you, that desire to seek after him. All I'm trying to say is get rid of that 2% thinking. It's 100% Jesus. That's what this gospel story is. That's what this grace is. He has saved you from yourself, from sin, from the devil, from eternal hell, all him. So he gets all the glory. Because if it was 2% us, I mean, we get 2% glory, right? We get none. It's all Jesus. And that has to be clear in our mind, or this sermon will not make any sense. Because this is a call to action. And if you hear this call to action in these words of the author of Hebrews, we're like, yeah, 2%, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm saying, no, 100% Jesus, this is what you're supposed to do now. And if you don't, still 100% Jesus, keep pursuing him. Get up, keep pursuing him. We have Reformed theology, but I don't think we believe it often, you know, because we live 2% lives, trying to add to what Christ has done. Not only does God love you in Christ 100%, he likes you. I've said this a number of times as well. Some of you feel unlikable. The God who inserted himself into this world, if your faith is in him, he is on your team. He is the great shepherd. He is the one who brings you into his family. You don't do this. This is his doing. But now he calls you to action. And the only thing you might add by your action is advancing sanctification. So that's his work as well in your life, by his Spirit. Hopefully I've made that clear. Our hope is in the gospel alone, not in what we do or not in what we don't do. But yet we are all responsible. We've all backed over that light pole, and we need somebody to fix it for us. So the author of Hebrews calls us to look to Christ. So we can see in what he's done in destroying sin, that we can see that our need is completely filled by him. So we can see his power by his Spirit in us, moving us forward, building his kingdom as he works in and through the church, combined with the Word of God. So we hear this benediction. Just hear the words again. In light of what I just said, may the God of all peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, the eternal promises of God, the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. So you have all this theological reality encompassed in what was promised in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament in Christ. You have Jesus now raised from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep. What do we do with this theology? He says, may it equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. May he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. It is all Jesus working in us towards a particular end in a particular direction. So we have a Sunday school kickoff Sunday. We have a direction to go as we follow Christ. But we combat this age of pointing fingers, of dividing people groups, of putting blame on one person or another. It's interesting, too, like we live in this weird time where like there's this thing called intersectionality, like two oppressed groups lining up against one other group. They're forming alliances to take out some oppressor. Such odd times. You know, we're trying to reach utopia minus Christ. But the gospel says the issue, again, is inside of us. It's the divide in our hearts. Receive the good news from Paul in Romans 8. He wrote this. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. It doesn't say at the right time, Christ died for those who were trying hard. He says, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Your boss ain't happy over sin. How much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What's the point of what we're doing? I mean, what's the motivation? What's the strength of our life? It is God at work in us. Now, that brings me to my next point this morning. Not only is Christ the strength of the Christian life in the new Sunday school year and always, Christ is the center of the Christian life. He is the center of what we're looking at in life, in Sunday school, in the sermons, and in all of life. He is the center of it all. Jesus says this in John 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So here's often what we think, which isn't the truth. We say things like, God, I'm going to make you the center. I'm going to make you the center of all things. I'm going to make you king. I'm going to make you Lord. I'm going to make you the center of my life. And it's like, no, okay, you look at the word, Jesus is the center. And I've said this over and over. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. We don't make him that. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. This is who he is. He is the center. Even history takes note. BC, before Christ, everything pointing to Christ. AD, after death, everything pointing back to Jesus. Jesus is the center of all things. We don't make him that. In fact, we are made by him and through him and for him. We make him nothing. He is who he is. He is Jesus, the center of all things. And your life will tell the reality of that, or it'll tell a lie about that. But your life will tell something about Jesus as the center of all things. You can't avoid it. I mean, I say it at weddings. I mean, out of Ephesians 5, you know, husbands and wives. The marriage isn't about you ultimately. It's about Christ and the church. It paints this picture. It displays who Jesus is. Our own lives do that as well. Displaying the reality of Christ being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, either as we live in rebellion to him or as we seek him with our life. He is the center. It is unavoidable. So our job as the church is to see the center, to focus on who's in the middle. Two of my favorite verses, let me read them for you. You've probably heard them 100 times already. Colossians 1, this Colossian hymn, group of Christians would sing this going up to the temple. Just hear these words. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. You make him nothing. This is him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. In everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is who Jesus is. I do not make him this. He says he holds all things together. My sermon, these chairs, the stage, he holds it together. I do not make him hold this together. I can't. It's who he is. And then these words, similar from this book, but the very beginning of Hebrews, the author wrote this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Man, right? And then the incarnation, after making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. This is Jesus. Sunday school kickoff. I mean, this is the whole goal of why we meet together. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. He is the center of all things. When I was little, a little Wausau fair used to have the Gravitron, they call it the Starship now. That thing would make me so sick now, just even thinking about it. You guys, some of you have probably been on it. And my girls haven't yet, they will. But you, so you stand in this thing, and it spins, you know, and you begin to stick to the wall. So gravity pulls you backward. Just pulls you back, and you can hardly move as you're sticking to the back of this ride. And the guy in the middle who's controlling it, like he's going faster and slower, but he's fine because he's in the center, right? Speeding the thing up. He's not getting sick. He's sitting in there all day. I don't know how that even happens. And we're all stuck to the wall, staring at the center, right? Staring at the one in charge. I mean, this is reality. This is the way it is. We're on this Gravitron. We're on this globe. This thing is spinning. He's put us on this planet for this time, for these, what, 80 years maybe. 63 for Kathy's uncle yesterday, right? I don't know, how much time do we have here? But here we are. We're on this thing spinning. And we're called to look at the center. Look who's controlling this, the author of history. We can trust him. Enjoy the ride. But do you see Christ as the center of this world, of your life? Or do you think it's 2% you at the center when you're stuck to the wall? God, I'm going to make this right with you. God, I'm going to take care of this sin. I'm going to atone for it myself. Can't even move unless he lets you move. Christ is the center. Do you see him as the center of all things? All of history, all of the future, all of eternity. Welcome to Sunday School 2019-2020, right? He is the center of what we're doing. In fact, we're starting a new curriculum this year, which is it's going to span all the age groups. Brad might speak a little bit to this curriculum in particular. We have already the gospel project now geared towards different ages, but it'll be the same material. And like we're spinning together as a church together in the same direction. You can go home at lunch with your kids and you can talk about what they studied because it'll be the same topics you studied. In fact, we encourage that. Don't just send your kids to Sunday school so you get a break. Go home and have something to talk about because you'll be covering the same material. Spin together with the church as we look at the center, as we look at Christ. You know, one of the things I look forward to in heaven, many things I look forward to in heaven, one of the things I look forward to is me not fighting for the center, right? God, I want your spot. God, I want to control this machine. God, I want it to go faster. I want it to go slower. God, my needs, my wants, my hurts, my joys, me, me, me. And finally in heaven, I'd be like, man, just freed. And I'll see Christ clearly as the center. That's what I'm shooting for now, but like I fight sin too. I want him to be the center all the time. You know, this life probably will be a memory. I love C.S. Lewis's words, you know, that it'll be like a kindergarten memory. You know, I'll remember my little home and the trees in the yard, but kind of like remembering kindergarten. You know, like I remember kindergarten, like those little stuffed up, those little blown up letters. That's all I remember from kindergarten were like those blown up ABC letters, like we had those. I don't remember anything else from kindergarten except for having lunch with my mom. That too. Heaven, I imagine we'll look back at this life and be like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that little house, the tree that blew over. Oh, I kind of remember all the political divides, all the people group divides. Oh, it just seems like this distant memory. God, we have you as the center. All that's been done away with. God, might your will be done on earth as it is in heaven now. We want you as the center now. But we fight against sin. What we want, what we need, what we think we need. So our job as Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, Awana leaders, is to help all those that we are fighting for here to see Jesus as the center. As the center not only of your Christian life, but the center of all things. We are fighting for you. We are fighting for us. Together, as the Holy Spirit works in us to see Christ as he is. My last point is shorter. And then following prayer and announcements, Brad will come up and introduce what we're doing this year with Sunday School. Christ is the goal of the Christian life. He's not only the strength, he's not only the center, he is the goal of the Christian life this new Sunday School year and always. Hear the words of the author of Hebrews again. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus. The God of peace, the author says. God is a God of peace. We know that. He's a perfect God. He created the world and all things in it through Christ, as we just read. Created male and female in his image. And we know right from the beginning, Adam and Eve were not content with that. Temptation led to disobedience, disobedience, the fall, twistings of the world, from a hurricane on the east coast, to political divides, to family division, to accidents on 163. The world is broken. So he sends his son to do what we couldn't do and to do it 100%. Again, all of salvation belongs to Jesus. And because all of salvation belongs to Jesus, all the joy of salvation belongs to Jesus, and that's what he gives to us. He puts the desire, the joy of obedience in us to follow him. Do you have that joy? Do you want more of Jesus? Do you want to be more like him? Is he the goal of your life? Do you find rest in Jesus? Do you find his rule and his reign out ahead of you? Do you find Paul's words in 2 Corinthians true? You don't have a decision if they are or not. They are true. Do you find these words true, which are true? For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see who you are in Christ? Isaiah, we read this, Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Even the 2% you're trying to earn from God. And one we're all familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So Christ has come to this fixed place, that fixed moment in time, to put the light post back up that we backed over. He took our sin. He forgave it. And he's making things right. All our lies, our lust, our greed, our anger, our laziness, our disobedience, all that the fall has brought in us and upon us. And the good news is this: if your faith is in Christ, your sins are done away with forever. You are made at peace with God, even if you don't tangibly feel that peace at this moment. You are made at peace with God. And then what happens? Again, hear the words of the author of Hebrews. May the peace of God, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, he reminds us right away of the events we celebrate, Easter morning. So Christ took our sin, he took all of it, and he went into the grave with it, right? He took all of our sin into the grave. He who knew no sin became sin for us. All of our lust, lying, greed, anger, everything he took on the cross, he went into the grave. After 3 days, he rose again. Where was our sin? Not on him anymore. It was gone. It was done away with. He rose free from that sin, and we rose with him if we're in him. Spiritually, it's been done away. We've been made righteous before God the Father. Then we have Ascension Day. 40 days later, he ascends to the right hand of the Father, given that place of all rule and authority where he intercedes for you. It's interesting, just thinking of Christ praying for us. Talking with a person in deep grief this last week, the comment was, I'm just asking Jesus to pray for me. Just, God, I know you're praying, just pray for me. Pray for me, Jesus. Pray for me, Jesus. She didn't have words to pray anymore. Pray for me. He's interceding for us, right? It's one thing to know that your elders, your pastor pray for you. Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, is interceding for you. He's on your team. He's got your back. He's working all things together for good in your life. He's in this position of all rule and authority, ruling all things, holding all things together, interceding for you too. Then we have Pentecost Sunday where he sends his Spirit to dwell in his people. And we feel the impact of these words. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus. Christ is the goal of all things. So Sunday school teachers, parents, helpers, Awana leaders, small group leaders, we're still looking for some of those as well, and those that will be led by them. Keep Christ the goal of your life. I mean, if you don't, the world's got a whole handful of goals for you. But it's not going to bring you peace. It's not going to bring you joy. Because the God of peace, through the blood of Christ, brought him back from the dead. Christ is our strength. Christ is our center, and Christ is our goal. And I say these as words of encouragement as we begin a new Sunday school year pursuing these things. Let me pray. Jesus, you are good, and you are good to us. And you are good to the world, even the world that denies you, Lord. You send rain upon believer and unbeliever. In a world that's in rebellion against you, looking for the things that you offer apart from you, Lord, your mercy is seen upon the world, and we know it won't be forever. There will come a time when you say, enough. And those who have believed are welcomed into heaven eternally. And those who have rebelled are sent to hell eternally. But we thank you for your grace on both believer and unbeliever in this short moment of history. So I pray we'd be about the business here of keeping our eyes focused upon you, relying upon your strength and your victory, seeing you as the center and the goal of all things, Lord. And might we proclaim that good news to a world that is grasping, that is searching for healing, for meaning, for justice. There's only one answer, and it's you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Our offering this morning is for Calvin Seminary. As the offerings pass, please pass the friendship folders. Again, if you're visiting with us, put your information in there. I'd like to know who's with us this morning. Now we have the opportunity to come before our Lord with our prayers and our praises. Just a couple notes to point out. as have been sent out on our prayer requests board. Keep Angie in your prayers tomorrow with her surgery. Just that God would continue to sustain and heal her. I also made mention in the sermon of Kathy's uncle, Kevin Duranda. He was the one that died last night on Highway 63 driving his grain truck. He hit a car, 63 years old. We'll pray for their family this morning as well, for Kevin Duranda's family. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are well aware of all of our needs. You have the hairs of our head counted. Lord, there's nothing new I could say to you that would surprise you or shock you. But yet you've called us to this fellowship to bring our needs and our prayers before you, Lord God, and you answer these prayers according to your will. We can trust your will is perfect and good. And so we bring to you our prayers and our praises. We thank you, Lord, for a new year of Sunday school. I pray, Lord, for great involvement from kids and parents, men and women of all ages, Lord. Would you bless the work to be done this Sunday school year? Not only as we seek to be equipped to live as shining lights in a dark world, but that we would continue to equip our students, Lord, preparing them to be sent out one day in a world that's going to be very hostile to them, but that they might live in it with joy because they know who they are, why they're created, because they know who you are. Help us feel the weight of this calling upon us, Lord, and the kids and the adults. And Lord, might we fight for one another. Lord, I know people are in different places here this morning, some with deep sadness, some with regret, some with joy, some with celebration. And I thank you for making us a church body together, Lord, that we are together in this because we're in you. And so we do pray for those in need. I do lift up LaVon to you, Lord, in her severe pain right now. I ask that you would give her relief from her pain, healing to her body, I do ask. We pray for Winnie's mother, Nellie, Lord, with her broken hip at 92. We know age doesn't change pain, and we ask that she would be relieved of the pain she's feeling. Give her strength and healing as well. Lord, we pray that you would watch over Angie. I pray the surgery would go exactly as it's supposed to go tomorrow. Guide the doctors and the nurses. Give Angie peace. We pray for good results, Lord Jesus. Just healing upon her body, we pray. We thank you for your continued healing upon Terry Spoolstra. We pray for continued healing upon her body, Lord Jesus. Continue to watch over their family. We thank you for them. For John Coaster's mom, we pray, Lord, for Kobe. Continue to give healing to her body. We continue to pray, as Mary Voss has asked, for those that are deployed. We think of her brother, Jason Paulsma. Lord, we ask that you'd watch over him and others who are serving our country right now overseas. We pray for those that are aged in the church and need extra assistance. Lord, we ask that they would find the care needed and you would give strength to their caregivers, Lord Jesus. You pray for Glenn and for Ruth and others, Lord, who need extra assistance in their age. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us from birth until our oldest of age, Lord, and you provide for us. But we pray for them this morning. We pray for Mike Rye, continued healing upon his body, Lord Jesus. Strength for him, Lord. Continue to give strength to him. For Breslin, we pray for healing for her, Jesus. We know she's been through so much as such a little girl. We do pray, Lord, for the Duranda family with the passing of Kevin. We know only the Father in heaven knows the day and the hour of the return of the Son. We know the days of our life are marked out by you, the days of our birth and the days you call us home. So we thank you for welcoming Kevin into your presence. The great joy that he's talked about and studied his life. He now stands before you in your presence, Lord. I thank you for that, but we pray for his family and the grief that they feel. I thank you that Linda wasn't hurt worse, but watch over them in the days ahead, Lord, as they mourn the passing of a husband and a father. Lord, we do pray for those that have lost homes and businesses to the hurricane. We do ask that you be with them in the rebuilding. We pray for those that have lost loved ones, the numerous people that have died in this hurricane. We pray, Lord, for peace upon these families. I pray that the church would be given what it needs, Lord, to excel in its work of bringing that healing as well in those areas. Jesus, I know there are many needs, many things that aren't brought up in a prayer time. Because maybe I don't know them here. Maybe they haven't been mentioned. But we thank you that you are not unfamiliar with sorrow. You are not unfamiliar with grief. And we thank you that you are interceding for us, Lord, and we can bring anything to you. I thank you for elders who are willing and longing to pray for their shepherding groups, Lord. I thank you for this church, Lord. Help us be found faithful in the things you've given us to do. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Well, before Brad comes up, any announcements?
Good morning. I have an opportunity to highlight R.C. Sproul has an excellent Bible survey series called Dust to Glory. And some of you may remember we started that series last year as Adult Sunday School. Now we're going to have new Adult Sunday School material this year. So we'd like to continue that series on Sunday evening. And between Mike Ryan and myself, we will lead that. Next week, we're going to start. We've arbitrarily chosen 7:30 as a time. We'll start then, and if that's too late or doesn't work, we can adjust for those who are interested and want to attend. Pastor Mark has mentioned this, but this year, the elders are focusing on small groups, encouraging fellowship, discipleship. And so this, in a sense, could easily become a small group. We're going to have a time of prayer. I promise to bring cookies, and we'll have coffee, watch a lecture, and then discuss it. So an opportunity to fellowship together Sunday evening starting next week. Thank you.
Well, Marlon, I haven't eaten your cookies, but I've eaten Fran's, so I hope she makes them. Okay.
Fran's cookies.
All right.
Okay, so DMC is doing a spring break mission trip again to Honduras and Dominican Republic, and I am planning on going to the Dominican Republic this year, and I would greatly appreciate your prayer support and, if at all possible, financial support. There is a letter in your boxes with more information, but we're only doing online donations this year rather than checks. So the link for the online donations is in the letter, and the deadline is next week, Sunday, on the 15th. Thank you so much for your support.
Well, today is kickoff Sunday, and I can sense everyone's excitement for Sunday school starting this year, right? Can I get an amen? Almost excited as game day coming to Ames next week. As Pastor Mark mentioned, we're going to be doing the new curriculum. You've heard a little bit about it. It's called the Gospel Project. And part of the Gospel Project is to point everything to Jesus. A lot of the lessons point that out. There's a specific section in there making the connection to Christ, to Jesus. And everyone will be studying the exact same lesson every week from three-year-olds through adults. So if you have kids in the various programs, grandkids, whatever, you'll be able to talk to them about that lesson. Starting in junior high age, there's actually Bible studies throughout the week. So junior high, high school, and adults, there's some extra pages where you can actually do a Bible study throughout the week if you want to do that with your family too. Just a few announcements because of the different curriculum. We're combining somewhat the 3 and 4 year old age group this year. So because of that, I think we allowed 2.5 year olds in the past, but now you will have to be 3 by September 15th for that class. And then we're going to be changing up our room assignments a little bit. I don't have the signs up yet. The 3- and 4-year-olds will still meet in the northeast classroom. The junior high group will be meeting in the northwest classroom. And then kindergarten through 5th grade will all start out in the youth room. And then they will break into smaller groups after that. So if you have any questions on that, let me know. There is no lesson today. Today will just be a brief meet and greet. And I don't think we've got anything planned for the high school and adults, right? So it will just be the 3-year-olds through junior high. I don't know if junior high really has anything planned either, but you can go meet your lovely teacher, Brad Van Coten, if you want to. I know the younger class has a little craft plan, but so you can just go and see your room, meet your teacher. The kindergarten through 5th grade, we will meet briefly over there, and then we've got lunch afterwards. I think that was all I had. So now I'd just like to recognize the teachers. I'm not going to list everyone's name, but if you are involved with Sunday school, Awana, early teens, or youth group, or let's put coffee break, children worship, could you please stand? All right, and then I'm going to do something a little bit different since Nate did something different last week. I'm just going to ask all of you to come to the middle here and kind of fill up the middle aisle, and then we'll pray for you. And if the rest of you could please stand up, and we'll kind of move our way to the middle and join together, put some hands on shoulders, and I'll pray for everybody. All right, let's join in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all of these teachers, all of these leaders, young and old, Lord, who've stepped forward and agreed to lead our various programs this year. And I just thank you that they are teaching our young kids, they're pointing our young kids to you, to Christ, whether that be a 3-year-old or an 83-year-old. Lord, we all need that. And I just pray that you'll be with them. As Pastor Mark mentioned, the ride, there'll be times where they'll want to get off the ride. Lord, they're frustrated. The kids are naughty. They wonder, are they having an impact? So I just pray at those times that that you will surround them with your spirit, that we will come alongside them, that we will tell them thank you as parents, that we'll give them encouraging words. So just bless this year together. We thank you again for all the leaders and teachers. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can stay standing for the benediction as the worship team comes forward for our last song as well. So it would only be appropriate to end with the benediction we just read as our sermon topic. So I close with these words. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us that which is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
You are not alone if you are lonely, when you feel afraid. You're not the only, we are all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, and thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor,
well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall, and he so loved the world he sent his son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted, and the pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another star. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.